It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show at Locked On Rockets, and also the blog at ClutchCityCR. So for today's episode, I want to start off, we got a few different topics I want to hit on, mostly just some of the coaching news that is out there. But first things first is late Thursday evening, extremely late Thursday evening. In fact, it might have been Friday technically already. No, was it? Anyways, it was announced that the President of the United States and that the First Lady of the United States both had tested positive for COVID-19, and the person that broke the news was none other than Shams Charania. Now, that's actually not true, but it was an interesting evening nonetheless to see Shams kind of jump in. And, you know, Shams being a guy who's, you know, very well plugged into basketball circles, and it's very evident that President Donald Trump just tweeted the announcement, and 15 seconds later, Shams, who is a very plugged-in person when it comes to social media, just reiterated the message. So Shams didn't actually get the scoop on the president. That's not how this works. But nonetheless, the reactions based on that, based on Shams being a basketball insider, getting what looked like the scoop on the president of the United States testing positive for COVID, led to many a decent joke. Because, you know, the basketball community, one, it's that ongoing battle between Shams and Woj, you know, who's the student has become the master now kind of thing. And I just think it's a very interesting thing. So there's a lot of people that woke up Friday morning very confused as to what all had gone on, not just in the political landscape, but then also in the basketball community, trying to figure out what the hell Shams has to do with any of this. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting little tidbit wanted to throw in there. But to the legitimate basketball news of the day, Doc Rivers has officially signed his contract with the 76ers. So in our most recent episode, our previous episode, I talked about the fact that that was probably going to be a likely outcome, that the Sixers were in full-out pursuit of Doc Rivers and was more than likely going to be the first domino to fall of the available head coaches, not Billy Donovan to the Bulls. That's not really like the first domino. That was like, I don't know, the first checker piece to be moved, whatever. Doc Rivers, as soon as he became available, he became priority number one for a lot of the teams that are looking for a head coach. And the 76ers, credit to them, they went all out. They wanted him. They made him their top priority. And he has now signed a five-year deal with the Sixers. So the Sixers are ready to look forward to 5 years of second-round exits. No, I kid. You know, Doc is a great coach. I just don't know if he's necessarily a great coach for the Sixers organization, because from what I've read about the Sixers and, you know, looking at, you know, fans of the organization and how they talk about the team, it seems like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are two superstars that really need to be held accountable. And everything that came out of Clipperland is that Doc wasn't holding Kawhi and Paul George accountable, because he kind of placates superstars rather than holding them accountable. So, you know, I don't know exactly how that's supposed to work unless he suddenly changes up his coaching philosophy, coaching style all of a sudden. Or, you know, again, there's the whole rumors about them possibly shipping one of Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid out of town for a, you know, a decent trade package to kind of reinvent their image. But either way, Doc Rivers, new head coach of the 76ers. And so that leaves us with the big question continuing, where does Mike D'Antoni go? And I want to talk about that in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. They're easy to take with you in little 1.5 ounce packages. You can throw it in your pocket and help get you through the day. It is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5 hour energy without the same crashing feeling. Plus it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster with a third of the caffeine and much better results. They've got 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. I'm really partial to the peanut butter honey. It is so good. But how does it work so well? Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is a fast absorbing protein, so it gets into the system quickly. Plus it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your workout, and it kicks in to keep you going so quickly that the little bit of caffeine in there, it really jump starts the whole process. And you can check it out. Just visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Another message from our friends at DoorDash. Look, between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal, because right now, our listeners can get $5 off, that's $5 off, and zero delivery fees, not a single delivery fee, on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Ordering is easy. You just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with their new contactless delivery drop-off setting. So remember, that's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. You're able to continue supporting the restaurants in your community safely, because there are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. Look, DoorDash is the app that brings you the food that you are craving right now, right to your door, safely. So don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast. Hit that subscribe button. That way you get the show as soon as it's published, rather than having to wait for it to show up on social media. So I mentioned Mike D'Antoni, and it's still so interesting to me to see where he's possibly going to go. I'm still leaning very heavily towards the Pacers, but I kind of have two interesting dark horse candidates for MDA. And here's my first things first, is I will circle this caravan back, because I've seen it a few times now, and more times than I thought I would see it, of people suggesting that Mike D'Antoni might return to the Rockets. And it's, to me, that is just a non-starter discussion. It's not going to happen. I don't think the way either side kind of ended things, and not only that, but the piece that was featured in The Athletic, where it looked like basically Mike D'Antoni's camp had leaked a lot of information about how the end of that relationship had gone, how the contract discussions had gone previously, the summer prior or the offseason prior, and to me, I just don't think there's a way to salvage that relationship. And I think that Mike D'Antoni, the consummate professional he is, still did his best job this last season as a lame duck coach. But I don't think he really much appreciated having to coach in a lame duck situation. And I just don't picture him circling back to become head coach of the Houston Rockets again. That's just not, for somebody who's, it's not like free agency where you go test the market a little bit and then you're like, oh, well, there's nothing out there, I guess I'm coming back home. It's not like that. It's Mike D'Antoni basically severed the ties with the organization, and it was his choice. He came up to Daryl Morey and company and said, hey, I'm done. I want out. And I'm not really going to blame the guy. He gave it 4 really amazing years. He came really close, a hamstring away from a title. And it was just, at this point, best case for him to move on. So, for me, I think the Pacers are still the top tier team in probably first place for acquiring Mike D'Antoni's services. But my two dark horse candidates, one is slightly more of a hypothetical, but the first one, seriously, is the Pelicans. And I know that we've had this discussion before about Alvin Gentry and Mike D'Antoni being very similar styles of coaches, but imagining what Zion would be able to do in a Mike D'Antoni offensive system where Mike puts the right players around him, the right pieces, the right amount of spacing around him so that he can flourish and have as much room as he needs to operate, to drive, to operate down low, whatever he wants to do. That, I mean, Mike D'Antoni is all about player empowerment, right? He takes his best players, usually guards. I will preface it. It is usually with guards. However, it can just be a player who needs the ball in his hands, right? A player who is capable of steering the offense because they attract so much attention. Zion is exactly that. Zion is a playmaker. Zion can handle the basketball. He can be a focal point in a Mike D'Antoni-led offense. And thinking about the Pelicans with MDA as a head coach is an interesting option. They'd be able to play, you know, super fast-paced basketball. They've got a lot of great pieces that would complement a Mike D'Antoni system. So that's my first dark horse candidate, number one. The second one, and this one's really interesting, is the Kings. Now, the Kings don't have an opening, actually, but it makes a great deal of sense. An organization that wants to play fast, that is almost a tailor-made Mike D'Antoni team with De'Aaron Fox at the helm. Imagining if the Kings decided they wanted to move on from Luke Walton and bring in Mike D'Antoni, that team is ready-made to, one, they really want to make the playoffs, right? They've had such a long playoff drought. They want to be back in the playoffs, and they came really close this year. They just fell a little short at the very tail end. But with De'Aaron Fox at the helm, with Buddy Hield, with the guys that they have over there, MDA could potentially find a lot of success. And this is my own personal bias towards potentially wanting to see that outcome, is the fact that MDA first he had the 7 seconds or less Suns, then he had the Pocket Rockets and or small ball. And if he goes to the Sacramento Kings, then he would be able to have the Fox and Friends gang. So I'm biased because I would like to be able to use the joking nickname Fox and Friends for that Kings squad alongside Mike D'Antoni. But those are a couple interesting options to me, just because you look at rosters that would, you know, mesh with what Mike D'Antoni wants to do as a coach, and they all pretty much need a strong, like a predominant ball handler. And I kind of glazed over this one for the Pelicans, right? But Lonzo is there. So Lonzo is a phenomenal player to put in a Mike D'Antoni system. And, you know, Mike D'Antoni is known for inflating the numbers of the guards or the ball handlers in his system because of how much they handle the basketball versus how little everybody else handles the rock in his offensive system. So that's interesting to me. Those two teams, you know, have the pieces to make it an interesting conversation. I do still think the Pacers are right there at the top of the list, and I think that's where I'm putting the smart money, and I'm going to stick with my original prediction because I said Doc to the 76ers and I said Mike D'Antoni to the Pacers. So now I'm just kind of waiting on that last domino to fall. So coming up here, final segment, I want to talk a little bit about Daniel House, and we'll get there in just one moment. And a final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. If you'd like to, you can call into the show now, 713-487-5457, and leave me a message. And I will listen to them. If they're quality messages, if it feels like it's something that we can run back on the show and have a really good segment to talk about, then I will do that. But definitely check it out, 713-487-5457. If you want to call in, leave a message, and potentially have it played back on the show. Now, I want to talk about Daniel House for a moment, and I want to just get it out there because I've been operating under the assumption that things may or may not be salvageable with the relationship between House and the Rockets organization. Now, I don't know if I've ever made this clear. I hope things can be fixed. I love Daniel House as a player. I want Daniel House to remain a member of this Rockets team, legitimately. I think that he is the ideal forward to be played next to James Harden and Russell Westbrook. I think that he fits really well. His athleticism, his ability to play defense. He has become a underrated playmaker on this team, where his ability to be able to pump fake that three and actually drive it in and accomplish something other than a turnover, like many of the other threes and fours on this Rockets team, or many of the other wings on this team, is impressive. His ability to take the ball and go coast to coast in transition. He is a really great player on a hell of a contract. And thinking about having to move on from him because of something that, you know, potentially happened in the bubble is disappointing, to say the least. So I just wanted to clear that up because I do think that Daniel House is the guy that you want next to James Harden and Russ as your starting small forward. And specifically, I know that I've mentioned this one before, but I'll just reiterate it one more time, is it doesn't matter what Daryl Morey thinks. It doesn't matter what the new head coach thinks. It doesn't even matter what Russell Westbrook thinks. What matters is what James Harden thinks. And if James Harden and D House are cool, which I haven't, there hasn't been any reports to the controversy. There hasn't been anything said that, you know, there's animosity between the players. If House and Harden are cool, and if Harden is, you know, if it's water under the bridge to James Harden, then it's going to be no issue, and D House is going to be back as a Houston Rocket next season. And to me, I still have, you know, some issues with how everything played out in the bubble, you know, I've gotten to the point where apparently I'm, I guess, technically big enough now to have hashtag sources. I don't know how reliable the source is, but somebody did reach out to me basically saying, look, you know, he is close to the situation and knows that it's not exactly how it's been reported. And so to me, I don't know whether or not to believe that. I'm not going to drop any names. I will keep it anonymous for this, you know, for the time being. But to me, that inspires a bit of confidence, because even at the time, I was questioning the story, and it did, you know, look like there were some holes in the story as to what all had gone on. And so I may have, you know, jumped the gun by just assuming, hey, he's got to get out of here. At the end of the day, the Rockets organization is going to make the right decision with him and, you know, whether to move on from his services. I hope that they don't. Legitimately, I have been a huge Daniel House fan, you know, these past couple seasons. He's been a big part of this Rockets team's success. I've championed his, you know, the idea to start him over Eric Gordon, because let's face it, he's just a better fit in the starting lineup. Things work more smoothly. They work out better with D House in the starting lineup. And so I think I may have taken it, I think I may have been a bit more frustrated by it from a personal perspective, from a fan perspective, rather than trying to think about it objectively about what's best for the team or about how everything kind of looked, the optics of it all. And so this is why I wanted to spend a segment just talking about D House, because, and I'll probably go into this a little bit further too when I do his season in review, when I do his player profile, essentially. But just wanted to knock that out because, again, I do hope he returns. Now, here's the thing, is if he has to be included in a trade package for, you know, alongside Eric Gordon for a guy like Miles Turner, who does get the Rockets something they sorely need in a stretch five, as well as a defensive center who can kind of help anchor the defense, then so be it. But if they were to try and just jettison him for like a second round pick or something, simply because, you know, things aren't repairable between he and James Harden, or between he and the rest of the organization, that would be rather disappointing. So from an objective standpoint, he is the Rockets' best trade chip, legitimately, because he is the guy who is on a very team-friendly contract. His production for his contract is incredible. He is a phenomenal 3-and-D player, so he very well may still be the sweetener in a deal to improve the roster, but I'm moving away, I guess, from the idea that he needs to be sent away simply because of what happened in the bubble, and more so of the camp that I'd like him to stay a Rocket, but if he's the only way to improve the roster, then so be it, because that's how it works out, right? But I think that's kind of my main point that I wanted to hammer home about D House. So with that, that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. A little bit of a shorter episode than usual, but just kind of a slow-moving news day in the basketball world. So with that, I appreciate you listening. As always, thank you so much. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.